It's time to pick that lawn up by the bootstraps with a healthy dose of Rosie on the House. Get all the advice you could want from the Harper Nursery Boys by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Well, if Tracy got any of the wind that we got in Whitman last night, it all came from Tonopah before it hit us, probably. I can understand her need to, or her motivation for a little dust control.
Dust control.
Tracy, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are
you
today?
We'll give her a second to get online. We have.
She went and got that cup of coffee.
Yeah. Here's the question, or the problem I've come up with recently, because we did start doing some dust control. We've got the lawn. We put some quarter minus down. Gave a little break. And that may help day in and day out. You get a little breeze here, a little dust there, it goes down. But when the wind kicks up or you have a haboob, it doesn't matter what you do.
Well, if you live out in the desert, I mean, you have desert around you, that you're going to have dust, you know, around you. I know that in Scottsdale, in North Scottsdale, where people still have dirt roads, they've done some treatment on the roads. You know, some of the product that you can put down that kind of actually glues the dirt down. So you can do that if you have gravel driveways and dirt areas around your house, but you can't do the whole desert. You know, obviously anything you can do to plant, cover, you know, and keep the dirt covered up,
yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah. Hello? Or prevent the dust bowl of the 30s.
You know, so keep some plants going. So,
Tracy, how old's the home, and is there anything landscaping down now?
No, it's 4 acres.
Well, I know she's there. So anyway,
you know, a windbreak. You know, the winds pretty much prevail out of the west here. So if you had a, if you lived on a larger property, which I would assume somebody in Tonopah probably has a little bit bigger, you know, even just a break of trees, so that when the wind does hit your property, you've got something to filter the dust, to keep it from carrying on through your property. Also break the wind.
What would be a good species for that?
Well, if you wanted to go low water, any of the desert type trees get nice, and just leave them big and thick and bushy. The mesquites and the Palo Verdes do a great job of that. They're fast growing, and those would be fine if she's out kind of in the desert and wants to stay with a desert look. Of course, in the old days, we used to use, you know, poplars and cottonwoods and those types of things. Fruit trees make a great windbreak, either citrus or things like pomegranates. You know, those make a great screening or windbreak as well.
Most citrus are evergreen, so that's a nice color year-round, nice green. Pomegranates, they are deciduous?
They are.
At least the one at how many different varieties are there?
Of pomegranate?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Dozens.
There's
flowering ones that are ornamental that don't produce fruit. There's a dwarf one that's an ornamental that doesn't produce fruit. Then when you get into the fruiting ones, there's 8 or 10 probably. Now, not all of those do well here. Some of them, you know, you need the more heat tolerant ones. Wonderful is the old regular kind of red meated pomegranate that we've grown here forever. It does very well. And you know, there's some relatively new ones. There's a white one that some people like because it doesn't stain when you pick it. So I think that one's called Eversweet, I believe. So there's a number of them out there. But you got to watch with pomegranates, just like any other fruit tree, that it's heat tolerant, that sort of thing.
It's just kind of like Rosie's mantra, though. Why would you plant anything you can't eat?
That's pretty new.
Well, I can think of some reasons, you know, for flowering and shade and things that maybe, you know, you don't get big enough. A lot of fruiting trees don't get big enough to provide the kind of shade you might want for a certain area.
And if you let them grow in their natural state, most of those grow as more of a shrub, protecting, you know, their branches and their bark from the sun. Mm-hmm. Trimming them up isn't something that, you know, you never find them trimmed up and out in the natural wild. They're lower in shrubber, so it's kind of
it's nice to have. And I've got like 6 citrus trees that do a great job of providing shade and fruit. you know, there's just sometimes that, you know, something flowers nice and I want to have a flower rather than a fruit. So I'm not on the bandwagon either way. I think you can go, you can certainly have a lot of things in your landscape that are edible, and it makes for a fun deal. And
well, I'm on the fence now, because you know what? There's other things besides people that like to eat those things.
Yeah, that's right.
So once you start planting things that are edible,
you attract
attract all these critters.
Your,
I don't know.
Your furry little friends that you're trying to.
Yeah, so I'm just not, I don't know. I have to figure it out. I like picking it, but I like picking it when nobody else has had it first.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than going up to a really nice peach or a fig or something and grab it and pick it and then turn it over and the backside's half
eaten. It's gone. Right.
Well, and worse than that is when you took two bites out of the good side before you realized it.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
1-888-767-4348. It's 1-888-ROSIE-4U talking curb appeal, and that this is our spring. This is Arizona spring at this time.
Well, southern Arizona. Now, we didn't talk about what the folks for northern Arizona do for curb appeal. Of course, in the fall, they can do mums and pumpkins and corn stalks and pansies. You know, pansies will take all kinds of cold. They're a great curb appeal if the snow's not covering them.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.